Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for June 1st, 2007. This week, how the height of your ceiling could affect your thinking and drawing energy from the jet stream. But first, Chelsea Wald's here to answer a listener's question about nature's most famous sleepers.
Listener Allison Creamer asks, how is it possible for animals to hibernate? We turn to Hannah Carey, president of the American Physiological Society. She says hibernating animals like ground squirrels don't just go to sleep. They're able to slow down their body functions dramatically.
Their hearts beat normally about 200 or 300 times per minute. And when they're in their hibernating state, their hearts are beating just a few beats per minute, maybe five or six. So a big shutdown in heart rate. Same thing with breathing. They take about 200 breaths per minute normally. They go down to maybe just three or four or five breaths per minute. So they keep on going. They're still alive. Their systems are still functioning, but they're turned down to a very low level.
She says how their bodies manage this slowdown is still a mystery, but she adds they're looking very closely at certain areas of the hibernators' brains.
And remember, if you have a science question, don't sleep on it. Call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use it, you'll win a Science Update mug. A mere 2-foot difference in a room's ceiling height may be enough to affect the thought patterns of the people inside it. This according to Joan Myers Levy, a professor of marketing at the University of Minnesota's Carlson School of Management. She and her colleagues put people in one of two rooms that differed only in ceiling height and gave them a battery of jobs and brain teasers. Those in higher-ceilinged rooms did better on tasks that involve abstract, creative, or big-picture thinking.
They see relationships between disparate pieces of information. On the other hand, if they're in a low-ceiling room, they do better on tasks that involve paying attention to detail.
She says there may be ideal ceiling heights for different types of shops, offices, or classrooms, depending on the task at hand. Next, Justin Warner tells us what scientists are learning about the connection between some mental illnesses.
Schizophrenia and mood disorders like depression tend to run in the same families. Now, a recent report in the journal Neuron shows how different kinds of damage to a single gene called DISC1 may lead to one illness or the other. The researchers bred two strains of mice, each with a different type of DISC1 damage. According to medical geneticist David Porteous at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland, the two strains developed very different symptoms.
So that we had, on the one hand, mice that were hyperexcitable and unable to mask out auditory stimulation, and on the other hand, we had mice that were behaving as if they had a depressed mood and low sociability.
They then tested the mice on different types of psychiatric drugs.
And so the ones with the more schizophrenia-like behavior responded positively to the treatment with the antipsychotic, and those with the mood disorder responded to the treatment with an antidepressant.
It's not yet known what causes the damage, when it happens, or how each type of damage leads to such different symptoms. But it's hoped that solving these mysteries will help doctors spot the illnesses earlier and treat them more effectively.
Thanks, Justin. The Earth's jet stream blows at speeds of up to 300 miles an hour. Scientists say that just 1% of the energy in these winds could supply all of the Earth's energy needs. In the journal IEEE Transactions on Energy Conversion, researchers describe their plans to harness that wind power. One prototype could generate 240 kilowatts, enough to power a remote village. In other news, a large team of European students have collaborated on a low-orbit satellite that can deliver small parcels from space to Earth. The satellite has a 20-mile-long tether from which it will dangle a 13-pound package. It'll slingshot that parcel to a target in Russia. If it works, it could provide a new way for astronauts to send experiments back to Earth. Finally, people on diets often get advised to eat breakfast, but it turns out that how dieters eat it could be important to their success. Chelsea has the story.
Listen up, dieters. Eating breakfast is good, but gulping it down quickly may be bad. Nutritionist Kathleen Melanson and student Anna Andrade of the University of Rhode Island asked volunteers to drink a liquid breakfast either quickly or slowly. They found that the fast drinkers were hungrier and less satisfied immediately after drinking, and they tended to eat more calories at lunchtime. Although the study used just 16 volunteers, Melanson says the findings agree with a larger study that used a pasta lunch.
A previous study, estimated it would make a difference of about 200 calories a day. This study is suggesting about the same amount, maybe if you're adding up the differences over the day, 150 to 200 calories a day.
That equals just under 2 pounds a month. As to why slow eating works, Melanson thinks it may allow more time for the digestive organs to send fullness signals to the brain.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll answer a listener's question about why we have allergies and learn about the quest to build a domestic robot. In the meantime, keep coming to scienceupdate.com to submit science questions and browse our archive. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.